so I had this role model as a teacher, and in the projects that he gave us, they weren't like your clear cut, this is a question about an algorithm, tell me what it does. It was a software project where we would build stuff. And I thought that was really cool because there was a lot of creativity behind that, behind creating a product or creating a piece of software. And that's kind of how my mind always was. Like, I was a very avid paper folder or origami person.
From the jshulman.com studio, this is the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast. Now, your host, Jay Shulman.
Hey, it's Jay, and welcome to another episode of Building a Life and Career in Security podcast, the podcast where you get to hear other information security professionals' career journey. Last week in episode 18, we had Kevin Chong. Kevin graduated from NYU with a focus on information security and became a consultant with Bishop Fox in New York City. In between, he did 3 internships and many Capture the Flag or CTFs. If you'd like to keep up to date on the podcast, text security to 33444 to be added to the podcast mailing list. And fear not, no one is going to be texting you. This week on the podcast, we have Christopher Thompson. Chris follows Kevin Chung from last week's podcast. Chris and Kevin knew each other at NYU. While Kevin's graduated, Chris is still in school. Here is Chris's journey.
Currently, I'm a New York University sophomore. I'm actually studying cybersecurity in college, and sort of how I got into this sort of path. It all started probably somewhere around my sophomore or junior year of high school. I had this really, really awesome computer science teacher, and at the time, I really had no programming experience at all. Like, I had never programmed a line of Java. I'd never really even played around with my computer. So I had this role model as a teacher, and in the projects that he gave us, they weren't like your clear cut, this is a question about an algorithm, tell me what it does. It was a software project where we would build stuff. And I thought that was really cool because there was a lot of creativity behind that, behind creating a product or creating a piece of software. And that's kind of how my mind always was. Like, I was a very avid paper folder or origami person, and being able to create different figures from different pieces of paper was absolutely astonishing to me, and that was a skill that I refined over the years. And this was sort of a new domain for me to kind of explore, and my teacher just gave me the doors wide open. I could just go any avenue I wanted to. And in my senior year, I ended up kind of having this own class, where I could just do whatever I want. And that's the sort of teacher that he was. And at the time, we had this, my teacher was had organized a club. And this club was consisting of really, really smart people from the rest of the school. So we had seniors who were just about to leave, but they were doing really, really awesome stuff. And what they were doing were these cybersecurity competitions. Primarily, there was this one called DC3, the Digital Cyber Crime Center hosted this. And what this competition was a year-long thing, and there were different categories of cyber forensics challenges that ranged from level 100 to level 500. And it was, they would ask you okay, what's an MD5 hash? And that was level 1 tier of a question. And as it progressed, it got into more and more complex things. And ultimately, the 500 level were questions that no one had solved. And the goal was to write software for that that would hopefully assist in making that challenge more accessible for other FBI investigators. So that naturally attracted me because I was really getting into programming. I was going on my own side project. I was making stuff. I was getting website development. So that'd be pretty cool to make software that the FBI could potentially use. So I got involved with the cybersecurity club. And at the time, the current seniors had actually won this in the previous year. And they won the high school level. There were multiple levels of winning this thing. You could win amongst your high school or all of the high schoolers. You could win globally, as in everyone who participated would actually rank in this global scoreboard. And our team, when it was our turn to kind of involve with this, we just started. Like, it was a year-long competition, so there was a lot of work that went behind this, and we had to think about how we were going to manage our time and regularly meet up and just nail these challenges out. And at the time, we really had no idea what cyber forensics was. All we knew is that it was something to do with looking under the hood of your computer and maybe opening up command prompt once in a while. We quickly found out there was a lot more to that than we had previously thought. And it was really cool in this sort of challenge competition to see like where we were ranking. And we were always up there. We were always in like the top 10 in the scoreboard. And so it just, that sort of feedback and seeing that and seeing all our hard work really pay off was absolutely astonishing to us that we were able to accomplish this. Because at that time, we were just juniors in high school. Like, we had no idea how good we could possibly be. And eventually, we ended up placing 12th globally. And it just really hit home for me, as well as my other teammates. And so I was actively seeking out other competitions that I could get involved with. And one of them ended up being Seesaw's High School Forensics Challenge. And this was a competition where we were given a piece of evidence, a single piece of evidence, and we were supposed to create this whole evidence web as a result of that first piece of evidence. So, for example, if we were given a phone or an image of a phone, we were supposed to explore that and look for any other clues that could suggest another path through this evidence. So, for example, if someone had visited a website and we looked at the browser history, we would see that website and that would be another node on our graph or another connection that we could make to that graph that we were developing. And this was also something our team was pretty interested in because it was something really unique. Like, how often can you say that you were involved with an investigation as a high school student? Like, it was pretty awesome. And ultimately, we ended up placing as finalists in this competition, and we were all flown up to New York. And being in New York, it was something that I never really had, like, the city environment, never really something that I had been exposed to. And because I grew up in Poolesville, Maryland, and that is a rural farm town in the middle of nowhere where we had, like, limited to no internet connection, so being in New York, it was just another one of those eye-opening experiences where I could see myself being in the city and working and going to school and all that sort of stuff. And unfortunately, we didn't actually win Seesaw HSF that year, but that really didn't deter our motivation to keep getting better and better. Over time, like, these competitions that we were getting involved in, it just grew into like a hunger for more and more. Like, I just wanted to learn as much as I could about the computer, because through these competitions, we were kind of absolving the layers that have been abstracted from us through like the user interface of a computer. So we would explore the internals of these computers, and it was just really cool to see all these hidden caves and hidden secrets of the computer that we never really had seen before. And so actually, one of the things that I kind of regret doing, but not necessarily something that, something that I completely regret. I got bored in my senior year of high school, and so one of the projects that I did was hack the school's security cameras, because I really had nothing else to do. There was no competitions going at that point. I just finished finals, and I was just looking for something to do. And I decided, like I know a lot about computers. Maybe I can get access to these. And so, with a few weeks of work, I was able to get into those. I eventually disclosed this to the county, so it's no problem there. But again, that's where I was kind of pushing the boundaries of cybersecurity. I had developed all this knowledge, but where was the sense of boundary? It was still like a gray line for me, because forensics is more or less a defensive position in the cybersecurity war, if you will. And little did I know that I was starting to get more and more to the like the that gray line where you become the hacker stereotype that every Hollywood movie makes you out to be. So going into college, I applied to NYU Poly. It was called NYU Poly at the time. Now it's NYU Tandon School of Engineering. Those are the people who host the Seesaw event. I applied there. I got in. I got a very, very nice scholarship. It was a complete full ride, and most of that is attributed to the fact that I was a finalist in this competition. So that was very nice. I actually got more money to go there than I did my state school. So I guess one piece of advice that I would really encourage people to look into is these competitions, because not only do they open doors in terms of internships, but also they open doors in terms of colleges and just money that you can get that will help you pay for college and help you get these opportunities that are out there all over the place. And so all my friends, they go to different places. Most of them went to the state schools. Some people went to Ivy Leagues, and here I am all by myself at New York University, not really knowing anyone. And so more or less just being in college is like a wake-up call to living on your own, doing all this stuff, and really just it gives you a blank slate, and it lets you write your own destiny, being away from your parents, being away from everything. And so my destiny ultimately landed me up in the OSIRIS lab, which is the cybersecurity lab at the School of Engineering. And this lab has a rich history of alumni and just projects that come out of there. Seesaw is a student-run event, and the OSIRIS lab, or the cybersecurity lab, are the people who run this event. And a lot of work goes into it, and my first semester being in there, I got to see the Seesaw event actually being run, and I was participating in creating the evidence for HSF, the very same competition that got me there in the first place. And so now I'm on the other side of this. I'm on the other side of this whole evidence map, and seeing how it's created, it just got me that much more excited, because it's figuring out, it's the opposite of figuring out how an evidence map is solved. It's you're creating the evidence map, and you're figuring out like, oh, someone might be able to find this really quick, but maybe if I add this, they can make it can take them much longer, and ultimately they'll be greater emotionally rewarded by finding this path, finding this new path. And so that was really, and eventually being in this lab or being in the lab, I got into more offensive security and looking at vulnerabilities in software and trying to exploit them. Going back to the quote, like that famous quote, the best offense is that's not the quote, but the point is a good offense is, means a good defense, because you are actively trying to penetrate your own networks and trying to debug your own software and looking for exploits that hopefully the people that are bad that are looking for these exploits won't be able to find them. And so, that's really where I'm at in terms of my interest, where it lies. And as a result of being involved with the lab and having such a rich alumni network, connections just out the wazoo. Like you can, like all over New York. New York is more or less considered like the hotspot for cybersecurity right now because of how many people are actually involved in the companies that are here. And having such a rich alumni network, I could pretty much get an internship wherever I wanted to. My mentor, who more or less kind of got me involved in this sort of stuff and really just like drives my interest, because he keeps showing me these cool things and I keep getting interested in them. He actually hooked me up with an internship for this previous summer. And just being involved and really being dedicated, you get a lot out of your summer internships. And I was working right side by side with my mentor, and I got a lot done. And you just learn so much just through sheer exposure to this information. And all through my life, like Google, the internet has played such a big part. Because my teachers, like every single teacher, even now, like my teachers in college, they really can't expose you to the information that you can find online. And if you have an unsatiable appetite, such as myself, like you're going to want to get information really, really fast. Like you can't wait for the next week to hear the lecture about cracking passwords. Like you have to know that now. And developing the schools to developing the skills to use these internet services and looking through information and finding white papers and finding presentations. Like it's extremely invaluable because you ultimately are able to learn at your own pace and not be limited by other people's approaches or other people's mindsets on how to figure out a topic or understand a topic. And what else?
Let me stop you there, because I think that you hit on a really unique topic there, and that's that insatiable appetite. So I'm really curious, because you said, you know, before you took this first CS class in high school, that you really weren't even into computers at all. So if you can think back then, and I don't know if you can, what did you think before this all came about? Where did you think you were going to go? What did you think you were going to study in college before you ever took that first CS class?
So that's a good point. I guess if I'm really looking back, I always liked math. I always liked dealing with numbers and using equations, especially algebra, because it kind of puts you in the mindset of figuring things out, solving for the unknown, deriving equations, things that really your teacher, the tools that your teacher did not give you, but you come up with yourself and making that on your own. That's more or less, I guess, where my interest lay back then. And computer science ultimately gave me a wider range of these sort of tools. And I guess it was more tangible. The things that I could create were more tangible than formulas. And so ultimately my interest shifted over to computer science, just because I could create these like worlds or these giant programs that did really cool things.
With your background in origami, I was waiting for you to say, you know, an artist or something like that. But yeah, there's a ton of crossover between the mathematics and the computer science world. So do you, talk to you about origami, because I think that's a really interesting way to describe the creativity that you have. Do you get the same satisfaction out of writing code or solving some of these forensics puzzles that you do from folding origami?
Yeah. Definitely. The things with origami, it teaches you to be patient, and you have to make your folds really calculate. You have to calculate like how you're going to fold something, because ultimately, if you make like a crease, like an accidental crease, like you could potentially mess up the entire design. And being able to sit for very long periods of time and focusing on that one thing, that series of folds, and ultimately what it's going to look like, is a skill that definitely translates to computer science, because you have to sit in front of your computer and you have to be willing to go through the process of debugging and realizing that you're going to make errors in your program, and understanding that and being able to mentally go through, okay, I'm going to get this and this done. It just teaches you how to like strive for perfection and how to, again, just like sit down and just debug your stuff and figure out why things are going the way they are.
Very interesting. I didn't think about it that way, but you are spot on. So you have this this incident, I'll call it, in high school with the video cameras, and it's really interesting, because a lot of people talk about teaching people these hacking techniques, offensive security type of stuff, too early on, because that something like this could happen. So did you? It sounds like you absolutely learned a lesson in all of it. But did you get into trouble? How did that all come about after it was all disclosed?
So while I was like preparing it and researching, I became extremely paranoid, because at the time I knew like how network logs were being like how they could potentially be like traced back to your IP or your computer. And so I would imagine I took every single precaution that was possible to prevent me from being traced. But yeah, there's that problem with giving kids the tools to burn down a building, and they may accidentally burn down that building. So the question is, how can you prevent that? And a lot of what people do today and a lot of the competitions that are coming out are offensive security related, and these are called capture the flag competitions. I actually have a team in the lab who participates in these actively, And there's one every single weekend. And so it directs like kind of our attention to these sandbox environments. Because these capture the flag competitions, they give you these challenges, people, organizations, they give you these challenges, and you try to attempt to hack into these boxes and figure out its secrets. And so these sandbox environments are trickling down into high schools, and curriculum is being put in place to kind of prevent kids from going outside what they're allowed to do. But again, like, you really can't prevent that, because these kids, one way or the other, are going to break it. They're going to break something. It's an unfortunate truth, but it all comes down to whether you channel their ethics and morality to make things better and not necessarily tear things down and steal information. But it's no more different than teaching a kid not to swear, because sometime or later he's going to figure out these words and he's going to start using it. But if you teach him at an early age that that's wrong, he won't do that in the future.
So do you, I don't know if you're familiar with Bug Crowd or HackerOne or organizations mm-hmm. like that you can kind of sign up to and also divert some of that energy for good. Do you guys participate in that at all, or is it really focused on the CTFs organized through the university?
So primarily, like, what we do these CTFs, and we also kind of have our own research projects that are also offensive security based. We have thought about in the past about starting these bug bounty programs, and I think that's probably a good place for a lot of budding college organizations such as ourselves to get involved with, because it does offer you that sandbox environment, and ultimately you get money from it. And those sort of incentives are definitely something that people should get into, because it's more or less a low entry barrier. A lot of the skills needed, really, you don't need to invest that much time. It's just a matter of manpower and man hours looking through the code and figuring out what someone could potentially do with that program.
So we ask everybody the same two questions. I'm going to ask you them as well. So thinking back on your career so far, what's a decision that you really agonized about but really turned out well for you?
So I guess more or less the one of the biggest stressors for a high school senior is picking out which college to go to. Because it's such a time investment and a money investment and a stress investment, just the sheer amount of work that you have to go through. And applying to a whole bunch of different schools, my SATs weren't the best. I got a 1900 on them. And comparing to my friends, like, they were getting 2200s and 2300s. So I'm like, oh crap, where the hell am I going to go with this sort of SAT score? My GPA was all right. But not the best. And I was really, really hoping that I could get into like CMU or MIT. But unfortunately I didn't get accepted there. And really my only two options were NYU and my state school, UMD, University of Maryland. And for some reason, I couldn't bring myself to go to my state school, because I just wanted to get away. I wanted to start again and just think differently, be in a place where I could make myself someone different, more or less. And New York University, just, they gave me that opportunity. And at the start, I'm like, oh crap, like, this is going to be a crappy place. Like, I'm not going to learn anything because I'm not at CMU. I'm not a prestigious college. But being in college, you learn that it's not necessarily about the classes or the course load. It's about the people that you put yourself around and the opportunities that you act upon and the internships that you get and the people that you meet and the connections that you make. There's so much more to college than high school really prepares you for. They don't really tell you that you are going through a whole paradigm shift in your life. You're going from a place where you're dependent on the system to a place where you're completely independent. And figuring that out is ultimately what changes like your whole life.
Well, I thank you for that. If I had had that speech when I was entering college, that would have been incredibly helpful. So hopefully it's just as helpful for everybody else who's now in that position. So the second question is, thinking about something that you'd want to do over if you had the chance. And I'm guessing that your experience breaking into the video cameras is not going to be on that list. It doesn't sound like.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
So what would you want to do over?
So I always kind of like ask myself, like, where would I be if I had started computer science or just playing with my computer when I was in elementary school? Because I was talking to a lot of my computer science friends when I was in high school, and they said, oh yeah, I was programming since I was like 10 years old or 9 years old. And they've had all this time to like prepare. And I'm like, in my mind, it's like, oh crap, how am I ever going to be as good as them? How am I ever going to have the skills that they have now? Because I'm just, like, looking at a timeline, it's just, that's so many years that I've missed. I've missed, like, 8 years or 7 years of possibly programming. And for the longest time, that's what I've regretted. I've regretted not starting earlier. And I was like, that's not fair. These kids, they have their parents are in computer science. They put them into that. But looking back on it now, I really don't think that starting it earlier would have really helped me to be where I am. Because ultimately, I'm really, really happy to be where I am. Like, it's absolutely amazing. So, more or less, I've kind of come up with this hypothesis. I don't know if it's true, but it's what I like to believe. Starting at an earlier age, you get burnt out. Like, there's a potential that you could just get burnt out by the information. And it might be, at the time, too much to handle. And when you go to approach it some years later, you're like, oh crap, I had a really hard time doing that. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that now. The truth is, you might be able to, who knows? But you've already in your mind generated this idea that you aren't able to do this. It's too hard of a problem to handle. And I think at my life, when computer science was introduced, it was absolutely perfect. Because the program that I was involved in, just, it pushes you. It pushes you really, really hard. And I wanted to be pushed hard at the time. Like, I just wanted someone to push me off a cliff and let me develop a parachute in midair. And that's what CS was for me. I was really just working really hard, like every single night programming. If I had a chance any second of the day, I was on my computer programming. And really, it was an amazing timing in my mind to get involved with this. And ultimately now I'm reaping the benefits. I'm really driven. I'm in a great place. I'm paying nothing to be in college, and it's really really amazing the opportunities that I've been given.
So I don't know if there's anything to your hypothesis, but to kind of give you a perspective, I did get access to a computer very very early on, and if you people ask, oh, why are you so successful? That's exactly what I say. I say it's because of my dad bringing a computer home. And I got burnt out, and I said, why would I want to ruin this fun hobby by making it a career? And so I didn't want to do anything in computer science when I first got to college, because why would I want to ruin a hobby? And then, at some point the light bulb went off and said, wait, isn't it, it should be so much fun that I could do, that I could have fun at work. And it took, it's kind of the naive kid not to realize that. So whether it's getting burnt out or just not really appreciating the tools that you have in front of you, I think there is something to your hypothesis. So I thank you very much for your time today. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about today?
I think that's everything. That's everything I can remember.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. It's really, really awesome.
Thanks, Chris. I loved hearing the perspective of somebody planning a career in security. Thanks to NYU for helping set up both this week's guest and last week's guest. And thanks for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date on the podcast, text security to 33444 to be added to the podcast mailing list. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Building a Life and Career in Security podcast with Jay Shulman. For more information and to subscribe, go to jshulman.com.